Congregation, the main verses for this morning hour, for this special prayer day, is from 2 Kings 19, the verses 15 through 19. Let us first read those verses. 2 Kings 19, 15 through 19. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, Thou art the God, even Thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down Thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, Thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and the lands, and cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. So far. A threatened King Hezekiah pleading with God. A threatened King Hezekiah pleading with God. Three thoughts. Assyria, the country of Assyria, threatening. Secondly, Hezekiah pleading. And in the third place, God hearing. A threatened King Hezekiah pleading with God. Assyria threatening, Hezekiah pleading, and God hearing. Congregation, suppose that our Prime Minister, Trudeau, would change, would come to completely different insights and would repent and say, I did all wrong all those years. Suppose. They would say, let us close all the abortion clinics. Let us have biblical values about marriage of one man and one woman. Suppose how that would fall with our nation if our Prime Minister would become a God-fearing man, going to church on Sundays, to a sound church, and have a major change, a change of heart. Oh, suppose, in spite of what he has been taught by his father, although he had such a different upbringing, but if the Lord would change him yet, why to think about that? Because when you look back in the previous chapter, we read about King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, was not a good king at all. He was a king of idolatry, a very ungodly, unwise king. He ruined it, and his son Hezekiah was so different. 25 years old. 25. And although only 25, such an influence on the nation as a young king. And it came to pass, 18 verse 1, in the third year of Hosea, son of Eli, king of Israel of the north, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. That's not old. 25 years old. You're not too young to know the Lord. You don't have to be 50, 60, 80. See, you're young. And may the Lord use young men, 25 years old, younger, older, in his service, in public offices, in the church, on the mission field. 25 years old, that's not too young. And I read in the following verses, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Not what was right in the eyes of people, in the sight of men, but there was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. David was not his father, he was his forefather. That was meant. He was walking in the ways of David, his forefather, his great-great-grandfather. And he removed the high places. You know those hills where they had built altars to worship the idols? He removed the high places. He broke the images. 25 years old. All the zeal, all the passion. He broke the images. He cut down the groves, those totem poles, groves, groups of totem poles. He break in pieces the brazen serpent because they were worshiping him. And he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Imagine our prime minister, 25 years old, and such a zeal, such a change. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among the kings of Judah, nor any that was before him. None like him. All the kings before and after. Even closer to the Lord than David, his father. For he clave to the Lord. You're sticking to the Lord. So close to the Lord. Didn't want to let go. He clave to the Lord. Like children sometimes close to their mother. You can't even have them on your own lap because they cleave to their mother. And so he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him. He did not depart. He did not go to the right or the left. He followed the Lord. Departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord God commanded Moses. Imagine. Let's pray for that. For wonders in our local communities and province, for a revival, for a change. Because 25-year-old Hezekiah was such a beautiful instrument in the hands of the Lord to change the whole culture in Israel. And I read in the 7th verse of this of the previous chapter, and the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him. That's so important. That's what we're asking for, right? Also on this prayer day. That the Lord is with us. The Lord was there for him. And he prospered, I read. He prospered whithersoever he went forth. The Lord blessed him richly. So we pray for such a government. We pray for such people in church. We pray for the Holy Spirit to come. And we ask the Lord, Lord, give us that cleaving, that trusting, that obeying, that the Lord be with us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was one thing. One thing that was not so good. In the life of Hezekiah, you know, the most holy people still have something, right? Nobody is perfect. He was neither. You know, his father Ahaz had made a deal with Assyria. And he paid tribute. He paid silver and gold every year to Assyria. It was kind of almost a province. It was almost a province of Assyria. they were responsible to Assyria. And I read in the previous chapter, and Hezekiah rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Well, that's good. Because Ahaz had made a covenant with Assyria and he said, I'm not keeping the covenant anymore. So he probably, what do you think? He probably trusted in the Lord. No. No, I don't think so. He trusted in Egypt. He trusted in a new nation coming up and with a mighty army. And he looked at that, you know, that's going to be trouble for Assyria. And we can just make a deal with Egypt and trust in them, and then the Assyrians won't dare to come to Judah anymore to retaliate. Now, how do I know that? I know that from Isaiah, because Isaiah was his prophet, as you later will see. And I also hear it from Rabshakeh later on, accusing him, you Hezekiah, you are trusting in Egypt. So I know that from the prophet Isaiah, that chapters 30 and 31 and 36 and 37, I also know it from Rabshakeh himself. But let me just quote something from Isaiah. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither see the Lord. I am sorry to say that Hezekiah was like that. You're seeking the Lord and following the Lord, but this was a leak in the ship. It was something not so good. Trusting in Egypt, and he rebelled against Assyria, and he thought, Egypt will help us when we are in trouble. You know, what is it that you're trusting in? Even if you're a child of God, even if you're someone like Hezekiah, something like cleaving to God and trusting Him, there might be certain areas in your life that are not so good. Trusting in your gifts, trusting in your intellect, trusting in your health, trusting in your money, trusting in medication, trusting in doctors, trusting in people, trusting your children, trusting your parents. And you know, I read in the Bible in Psalm 118 and other places, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. It's so foolish. Even someone like Hezekiah, rebelling against Assyria, trusting in Egypt. Hezekiah, why? Why trusting in princes? Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. There is no help in people. There is no help in people. Nor in the Son of Man. His breath goes forth, he returneth to his earth. In the very day his thoughts perish. Trusting in people, they die. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Not only in many things, but in all things. In all things. In a reading, Isaiah 30, verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. So King Hezekiah was a good king, but he wasn't perfect. And he's going to learn something. He's going to learn something. Because there are consequences. Now the king of Assyria at this time, Sennacherib, is mad. And he does not take action right away, but I read in the previous chapter, verse 13, now in the 14th year of Hezekiah, so Hezekiah is now 39. In the 14th year of Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced city of Judah and took them. So the king of Assyria came and took all those cities, those fenced cities, those walled cities of Judah. No, not Jerusalem yet, but with all the others, he took them. And King Hezekiah, he thought, now I'm in trouble. This is not going well. And he sent messengers to Lachish, where they were gathered together yet. To Lachish, he sent messengers. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. I'm sorry. Return from me. Go away. And that which thou puttest on me, I will bear. Whatever tribute I have to pay, I will pay it. Please, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I have offended you, that I've sinned against you. I've sinned against you, King Sennacherib, please go away. I will pay. I will pay. Well, Sennacherib said, that's okay. You pay. You pay 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. That's immense. So King Hezekiah took all the silver of the sanctuary, all the utensils and stuff and from his own palace, and he just said, okay, here it is. Just don't come close then. But you know, King Hezekiah thought, now it's over. Because I paid the price and he will just go home. But you can't trust those people. You cannot trust those kings of Assyria. And he came anyway. With an army. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshake. And those are probably not names, but officials. So I think we would say, and the king of Assyria sent the Tartan and the Rabsaris and the Rabshake. He sent the mayor and the general and the marshal, and other names have been used to translate this. And he sent with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. When they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. I don't know exactly what it is, but they stood outside the gate. And they talked. They talked to the people, to the officials of King Hezekiah on the walls. And they said, well, don't talk Jewish, because we don't want the people to hear this. No, they said, we're going to talk Jewish, so all the people that are on the wall can hear us. Now behold, Rabsakeh said, thou trusted upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt. Now you have a cane, you have to walk with a cane that is kind of easy on your hand. It's kind of bent, so it just fits in your hand. But if you have a reed, a piece of bamboo, to put your hand on the bamboo, goes right through it. So you lean on the piece of bamboo, it hurts. So the Rabsakeh said, if you trust on Egypt, it will go right through your hand. On which, if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. And he was right. Rabsakeh was right. Don't trust in him because he will just hurt. Don't trust in princes. Don't trust in people. Don't trust in doctors. Don't trust in human efforts. It's like bamboo going through your hand. And you know, Rabsakeh, you should read it at home with this. Slowly. He is smart. And he says, you know, people on the wall there, your God has sent me. You believe in your God, right? And in his providence, he has sent me to you. It is not by chance. Am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord who said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. And people on the wall just quiet. Nobody says a thing. And Rabsakeh said, and nobody can deliver you. For ye shall not be able to deliver you. Not Hezekiah. And not your God, neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. So I see Eliakim and Shebna and Joah standing there on the wall, and they record this, they make notes, and they bring it to the king. They bring it to King Hezekiah. This is what he said. And King Hezekiah, he grabs his clothes and his collar and just tears it open. And he says, give me sackcloth. So there's a bag. And he put ashes on his head. Like as if he lost a child. There's mourning. And he walked up to the sanctuary of the Lord. But he also was sending his officials to Isaiah. Look in our chapter 19, verse 2. And he sent Eliakim, which is over the household, and Shebna the scribe and the elder, the priest, covered sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus say Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and a rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is no strength to bring forth. The child is stuck in the birth channel. So mother and child are going to die. Nothing you can do. That's how I feel. But you know, there is something strange here. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabsakeh, which whom the king of Assyria, his master, sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God has heard. Why does he say that? Hezekiah says to Isaiah, the Lord thy. Lord, thy God. Isaiah, the Lord, thy God. He doesn't say the Lord, our God. Can't he get it over his lips to say the Lord, our God? He can't say that. He said, Isaiah, the Lord, thy God. Not our God, thy God. And he says, maybe. That God-fearing King Hezekiah, he says, maybe. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh. But he yet believes that the Lord of Israel is the living God. So there are some doubts I see. So the third of the king, Hezekiah, came to Isaiah, and before he can say anything, Isaiah also replies, thus shall ye say to your master, be not afraid. I will send a blast upon him. I will send a sound. I will send a wind. If you don't know how to translate blast, it says spirit or wind or blast. And he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and it will cause him to fall by the sword. And you know, it happens. Rabshakeh is gone. He's gone. What exactly happened, I don't know. He heard something. He heard a rumor. He heard a sound. He heard some information. I don't know. He's gone. What a relief. So Rabshakeh, verse 8, returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna. So Rabshakeh goes back and he talks to Sennacherib, his master, his king, and says, so and so, and I'm back. And King Sennacherib says, what? Really think so? No. I write a personal letter, and you bring it back to King Hezekiah. I don't let this go. So King Sennacherib writes a letter. Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee. That's on the letter. Don't let the God of Israel deceive thee, people. And what has happened to all those, he mentions nine different countries, nine different cities, walled cities. We've conquered them all. We've conquered all those people, all those cities, all those fenced cities. And they all had their gods, and they couldn't help them. Who do you think you are? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and Teleazar and Hamath and Sepharvaim and Hena and Iva? No, right? So Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Our second thought. See that, Hezekiah? He has this letter in his hand, probably a scroll or something, or maybe just a piece of parchment, but he can read. And it was probably in the Jewish language anyway. He read it, was shocked. I thought he would let go. There was some hope. There was some hope it would go well. And still not. Yet his hopes up and down again. And his hopes up and down again. That sometimes goes in our lives rather like that, right? And Hezekiah had to learn something yet. Hezekiah cleaved to the Lord and was a good king, and nobody liked him before and after, but you know, he had to learn something. You can always learn something. And the Lord chastises his people for their benefit. They need to understand and know more, and it needs to go yet deeper. So Hezekiah received the letters of the hand of the messengers, went up to the house, and spread it before the Lord. May I encourage you to do that? You know that letter you received? Did you? Did you receive a letter? An email? Something not so good, something that shocked you? Or have you kind of written a diary and just expressed how you feel and what happened? Can you just open that diary and let the Lord read it, so to speak? Or can you make a list of all the sins you know you have sinned and show them to the Lord? Or can you write a piece of biography of what has happened, that you had kind of a change in your life but you don't know what to make of it? And you just write it down and show to the Lord? Or can you write down your circumstances and your fears and your problems and just, where do you go? Where do you go with that? You can ask advice of people. Can you read this? Can you think about this? What's your advice? Remember, elderly lady, God-fearing lady, in one of the towns I used to live in before I was a pastor, and she had questions about the Lord's Supper. Can I attend? Can I not attend? What's the advice? And one evening in the week of preparation, she went out on the street and she went to the house of this elder who wasn't home. The house of that lady who wasn't home. And to another person who was not home. And it came to her mind, is there no God in Israel? And she's right. I go home. There's a God in Israel. And she laid it open before the Lord. And she showed him. Do that. Whatever your fears and circumstances are, don't chew on it and talk about it with your wife and husband and beloved ones. Lay it before him. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. He prayed in the sanctuary before the Lord. Compare that, in a sense, to praying together as a congregation. Not only individually, also before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, O covenant Jehovah, Thou hast made a covenant with us people. Thou art a faithful God, a covenant God, which dwellest between the cherubims. He's going to talk about God, right? Which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. As if the Lord doesn't know that yet. They're going to say this. Why do we pray, Lord, thou art almighty, and thou art faithful, and thou art good, and thou hast made the world, and thou hast this and that? Why do we do that? Do we need to remind the Lord? Has the Lord forgotten? No. So why then, do you think? To remind ourselves. May you pray. To remind yourself, to let it sink in. May the Lord let it sink in. O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims. He does not talk about heaven, I think, but he talks about the cherubims on the ark. the throne of grace, the presence of God, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art on the throne. The ark is the throne. Thou art the sovereign one. Thou art the one in control and in charge of all things. We can do whatever we try to do, but the last word is to the Lord. So Hezekiah reminds himself of a God sitting on the throne. Thou art the God, even thou alone. You know, in those days, and maybe still, people think every city and every country had their own God. And that every nation and people has their own God. But Hezekiah says, no, there is only one. And there is only one God over the whole entire world. He is in charge of everything over the complete universe. Thou art the God, even thou alone. He's reminding himself. Remind yourself. You pray. Lord, thou art God, and thou alone. And bring your needs, open the letters, and lay your situation before him, before the God who is the only God. To whom else shall we go? You know, like Psalm 83 says, that men may know that thou whose name alone is Jehovah art the most high over all the earth. Or 86, for thou art great and doest wondrous things, thou art God alone. Repeat that for yourself in your prayers today. Thou art God alone. Thou art God alone. The incomparable one, the holy one. There is none like him. Universal. Thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. So Hezekiah says, Lord, thou hast made heaven and earth. What's the sense of saying that? It is a filler. Some words filled up. No, that's important. He does not remind God that he is the God of heaven and earth, but he feels I need to realize that myself, that God is almighty. The God of hosts, he's made all things out of nothing. If you forget about creation, if you don't believe that God made the world and the universe in 6 days, if you don't believe that, your whole prayer is just gone out of the window. That's crucial to believe that he is in charge and that he made all things. So for yourself when you pray, don't mind mentioning all the attributes of God. His faithfulness, Lord, thou art so wise, and I realize it, he is. Thou art so faithful, I say, yes, he is. He's so good, yes, he is. He's so righteous, yes, he is. And then he says, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Does he lay it before the Lord? Thou art the living God, right? O living God, act upon this. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and the lands. That's right. I don't minimize that. He is serious in his prayer. He doesn't minimize it. They've cast their gods into fire, for they were no gods, right? They were no gods. He's confessing that to them. They were no gods. But then the most important peace, I think, is verse 19. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Lord, hear us, that all the nations may know that thou art God only. What do you make of that? Why is he saying that? Two things. In the first place, he says, Lord, it's all about thy glory. It's all about the honor of God. That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. So that's an argument he uses in his prayer. Lord, don't do it for me, don't do it for the people, don't do it for anything else, but for thyself, O Lord, for thy glory, for thy name's sake, for thy glory's sake. Lord, take reasons out of thyself to do this. There are no reasons in me. Do it for thyself. May I recommend it in your prayers. Your prayers today. Don't ask things for yourself selfishly, but ask things unselfishly. Say, Lord, for thy sake, for thy glory, that the nations may know that thou art God only. But what else? There's something else in there. Do you see it? Save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. You see it? He's not only asking, Lord, do it for thy glory. He says, Lord, there is a special purpose. There's a main purpose. What is the main purpose? You said the glory of God. Yes, but connect to that. That all the kingdoms of the earth may know. That all the kingdoms of the earth, mission work, mission work. That all the kingdoms there may know. May experience, may believe, may realize, may acknowledge, may serve, that all the kingdoms may know. So it is about salvation. That's the main thing in his prayer. Lord, save us. Help us, but may we know thee. May the nations know thee. May we know thee. Also today, let our prayer day not only be a day for prayer day for ourselves, selfishly, our families and jobs and occupations and businesses and farms. Maybe you say, Lord, deep down, it's about this, that the nations may know that thou art God, that my children may know, that I may know, that Israel may know, that we may know, that thou art God only. You know, in our prayers there are things primary and secondary. And we may have to think about the order of that. They say, Lord, what's first and foremost, what is it? What is the main purpose of prayer day? What do you want? May this be first. It's the last piece in his prayer. I realize that. But in importance, it's first. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, with this purpose, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Do you know it? Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior? Is that your main goal and purpose in life? To have that kingdom of God and righteousness for yourself and your beloved ones? Seek the Lord and live. And don't be so foolish by asking a whole bucket list of things and forgetting about your soul and mission work and God's glory, that the nations may be glad and seek the Lord. So pleading, and the Lord heard. And the Lord heard. Isaiah, the prophet, comes unannounced. They didn't ask him to come. Verse 20, then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I've heard. And then the rest of this chapter is about what's going to happen. God hears. Because he despised Zion. You can't do that. And now Zion will despise them. And they laughed at Israel. And now Israel laughed at them. Because they've reproached the living God and blasphemed him. He went too far. Sennacherib, he went too far. Not an arrow will be shunted into the city. The Lord will defend it. Interesting is verse 34. Again, the reason. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. See? The Lord is saying, I don't have pity. I don't feel sorry. It's this. For mine own sake, I do it. You know, that's humbling, isn't it? It's humbling. The Lord can do anything for us. In a sense that we merit it. We don't. There's nothing. He can only work things and answer for his own name's sake. And then I read in 35. It came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. When they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. 185,000 dead. That's a lot. And they just left. What was left, they left. And on one of those monuments in Assyria, it's still mentioned that they came back. And in kind of a vague way that they could not take the spoil, but that they left Israel as a cage, as a bird in its cage. The Lord heard. And he is still that same God. He hears prayer. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. It's so often in the Bible, he hears prayer. Are things not happening anyway, anyhow, if we pray or not? What's the difference? It doesn't make any difference if we pray or not. It does. Because prayer is included in God's providence. Prayer is a means God is using. God answers not because of, but upon prayer. That belongs to the way God operates. He operates on this way. He answers prayer. He wants us to pray. Even if we know things and trust things, we still pray. He will regard the prayer of the destitute. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, that to all that call upon him. In truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He'll soon hear their cry and will save them. It's so often in the Bible. And the Lord can do it so miraculously, so unexpectedly, so beyond our imagination. You say, how in the world is this possible? I didn't think of this type of solution. But the Lord is able to do that. Believe that. Believe that the Lord can solve this or that problem. And believe that he can save. Also save from hell. And save from wrath. And save from guilt. And save from self. And save from addiction. And save from... He can save. He can do that, and he wants us to pray. Call upon him in the day of trouble. Seek him and live. Pray, let this chapter and this sermon be an admonition to continue in prayer, not ceasing in prayer, to continue in prayer. Even when things look so grim, bring your letters to the Lord and open them and confess your sins. And ask the Lord for salvation and plead with him and say, Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy glory, and that all the nations may know that thou art God. I don't know if I can use the word sensitive. Probably not. At this time, I don't know another word. But let me say it carefully. God is sensitive to this type of argument, you say. Not for me, for thyself, for thy glory, that all the nations may know that thou art God. You're going to end. Think of Hezekiah. What a almost perfect king, but he wasn't perfect. And he had to learn more and to be humbled more and to be instructed in the ways of the Lord more. You know, Hezekiah is one of the forefathers of the Lord Jesus. And he is the King of Kings. And he was cleaving unto the Lord. And he feared his name. And he never trusted in Egypt or anything else. He never was looking for a reed that would pierce his hand. He really completely trusted in his Father. And he prayed. He prayed. Let this cup pass by. Not my will, but thy will be done. And he died. He died on the cross. It looked like the Father didn't hear him, but he heard him. It was his will. To save a people from their sins. And because of that Savior, more than David, more than Hezekiah, because of that perfect Savior, there is hope. And he can save a people from their sins. He's called the Savior of the world. So seek him and live. Amen. Almighty, most precious God, thou art God and thou alone. Everlasting is thy throne. O Lord, we beseech thee, give us that prayer in our hearts and make it well, Lord, not only for the time, but especially for eternity. Draw us unto thyself, give us that cleaving unto God, that trusting of God, that opening of the letters unto God. Lord, yet make it well. Give us thy Spirit. Graciously forgive the shortcomings also of this service. Be with us the rest of this day and bring us also together again tonight for another worship service of seeking thy face together. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.